Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys offense and Dak Prescott fan.
I was like, "What? Where's the pause?" I was confused where the hesitation was, but yeah. And before we get into, you know, Rico, y'all know.
Yeah, we'll let you go. We'll let y'all go first.
Of course, before we get into Rico and the Cowboys not buckling up for his return, I guess. Isn't that what he said? I mean, yeah, man, let's get right into it. It is literally taking everything in me to not call it right now for this season. After the, I'm just going to call it how I see it, after the ass whooping we got at the hands of the New York football Giants last Thursday night. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I've said it all season, right? Our cornerback depth after Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean was non-existent, and it's looking like Quinyon won't even play this Sunday. And Vic Fangio was on record saying today, it looks like Adoree Jackson will be covering Justin Jefferson. And
oh my God, that's crazy.
I'm gonna start feeling like Michael Jacquet. Real Eagles fans know who Michael Jacquet was. That one of the worst corners I'd ever seen play any football ever. He was with us a couple of seasons ago, and he was absolute dog water. Man, where do I even begin? I mean, Jalen Carter didn't play. No, you know what? I'm gonna start right here, right? Keely Ringo, Adoree Jackson, but specifically Keely Ringo. That man got worked, not by a Malik Nabers, not even by a Darius Slayton, not even by a, what's his name, Jalen Hyatt? Not even by the Giants' top three receivers. He got cooked by a man named LaJordan Humphrey.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Wandale.
Wandale Robinson. But, like, no, yeah. LaJordan was having his way.
That's why, you know, I actually, because of him, I've mentioned it before how Jordan Lewis was one of my favorite Cowboys players. I called him Lil Jordan because of Lil Jordan Humphrey. He was a former UT football player.
Yes.
And that's just a funny little tidbit. But, yeah, I definitely watched the game, and I'm glad you highlighted Keely Ringo like a little more than the Adoree Jackson because his was more of a
horrible.
Like an effort thing from what I saw. At least Adoree Jackson was trying. He just isn't that good. Keely Ringo, there was one play he gave up the catch, and he's just like standing there and lets him keep running for extra yards.
Keely Ringo cannot play another down on the defensive side of the ball this season. I can't stand to watch it. Our defenses came out flat out. They did not show up ready to play. Yeah, no Jalen Carter, cool. Jackson Dart was giving us the work. He was giving us fits all night, and that really shouldn't have been the case. Like, I saw, you know, when I knew it was over, like the exact play, Jackson Dart's touchdown run. Did you see? And I don't know, again, Zach Bond, I don't know what's going on with him these past couple weeks.
Yeah, he definitely had a rough game.
But he, like, Jackson Dart is out here juking Zach Bond? Like, what? I saw that and I said, okay, that's it. Like, if we're living in a world where Zach Bond is getting juked and sidestepped by Jackson Dart, I'm not even discrediting Jackson Dart's athleticism, but there's no way that should ever happen to Zach Bond.
Right.
That could happen to a N'Kobe Dean. Like, I'm not going to lie. That could happen to N'Kobe Dean. He's smaller. He's kind of stiff a little bit. But Zach Bond? Nah, man. Like, when I saw that, I was like, okay, yeah, this might be a long night. Yeah, dude, our defense just did not come to play. And Vic Fangio, he came out Saturday, like, I got to call it better. He said, we got to play better on defense, and I got to call a better game. Both are true. Offensively, man, I mean, it's the same stuff. We talk about this every week at this point. Lane Johnson's even come out saying the predictability of our run game. It's bad, man. It's bad. It's the reason why teams are able to load the box against us and really just go to work, man. And it's crazy because, like, after the first, like, two drives, right, that's when we went three and out. But then, like, Jalen started to get into a flow. Right, he completed like 12 or 14 passes. We're moving the ball. Like, it's looking good. But, like, man, our defense just did not show up. The overall question continues, right? Can the Philadelphia Eagles play a full game of complimentary football? The answer right now is no. We just can't do it.
Right.
We just can't do it. You know, majority of the season has been our offense letting us down. Last game against the Giants, it was our defense. Our special teams didn't play good either. Really, I mean, there's not even much to say here. Like, I'm telling you, I'm getting major 2023 vibes right now. Mm-hmm. That's not good. We got the Vikings coming up, and I just said it, man. If Adoree Jackson has to line up against Justin Jefferson, it's going to be a field day, man. It's going to be a field day. Howie Roseman, you know, all these trades are starting to happen in the league, man. Go out there and get a Denzel Ward. Go sign Asante Samuel Jr. Go get Stephon Gil. Go get somebody. Go get somebody. Because for me, like, seriously, this is my suggestion at this point, and I'm so serious. Quinyon can't play. All right, cool. Coop, you're going to CB1. Andrew McCuba. No, not Andrew McCuba. Actually, I'll put Mac McWilliams in the slot. He's our rookie corner, slot corner. I'll put him in the slot. And opposite of Coop, man, I mean, Lee, man, it's going to have to be Adoree at this point, dog. Or you drop Andrew McCuba down into the slot and you put Mac McWilliams on the outside. He's played outside before. Yeah. The only problem is he gives up about like 4 or 5 inches. He's only 5'9".
Oh, yeah, no, that's
like, small. You know what I'm saying? So, golly, man, it's tough. I don't even know. I mean, I'm assuming Jalen Carter's going to play. I don't know yet. Landon Dickerson was out. Za'Darius Smith, our best edge player, just retired.
Yeah,
what the heck, man? Like, you just wanted to play three games? Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Like, you just want to play three games? That's it. Yeah, so our best edge player, gone. Nolan Smith, still out on IR, gone. N'Kobe Dean is back. Here's what's going to have to happen for me. In my opinion, we got to drop Jahad Campbell down on the edge, man. We got to have somebody down there that can make plays and put N'Kobe Dean back opposite of Zach Bond and just see what happens. Because at this point, you got nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? You literally have nothing to lose.
Right.
You know, obviously all the A.J. Brown trade rumors are starting to, you know, really, really buzz up and everything. And, I mean, I saw some talk of the Steelers. Look, man, Howie Roseman is not in the business of trading away all-pro players. He trades for all-pro players. But in the event we do trade A.J. Brown, I don't think that'll happen in the season. I really don't think that'll happen in the season unless it's just a monster offer. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, if it's the Steelers, I got to get back a Joey Porter Jr. and a Alex Highsmith or something. Like, I'm not even lying. Like, I got to get back those guys. Those caliber of, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to give something like that up in the middle of the season. So I don't think A.J. Brown, will he get moved? I really don't know. It's 50-50 for me right now. But I don't think he'll get moved during the season. We need help. we need help badly on defense. Like I said, Asante Samuel Jr. is still out there. Stephon Gilmore is still out there. Guys are still out there. I mean, hell, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is out there now.
Yeah, he just got cut by the Ravens.
I mean, I think now we could bring him back. It was something because with the trade, we couldn't. But I think now we could bring him back, I think. And if we can, I mean, he's played his best ball when he's with us. So, you know what I'm saying? In terms of edge play, you might have to go trade for somebody. Man, it's dark days right now. I'm not even going to say dark days, but like it's really teetering. Like, it's taking everything in me to not say the season is over.
Right.
And mainly that's just because we don't have, really on defense, we don't have all our horses right now. But offensively, man, I mean, Kevin Petullo, I was watching, Atlanta, right? Because, you know, Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stand by them for you agree to. ESPN, NFL, y'all have got to stop with the doubleheaders. Please.
Facts. Absolutely agree.
We had one this week. They got one next week, man. Please stop with this. Anyway, watching Atlanta play Buffalo. First of all, I mean, Atlanta, they just blitzed Josh Allen. And he just didn't have time. So I give Atlanta credit for that. But
blitzing. I wonder what that's like.
But you know, the Falcons' best player by far is Bijan Robinson,
for sure.
And I saw from quarter one to quarter four. Zach Robinson, the Falcons offensive coordinator, I saw him make a concerted effort to just make sure Seven was involved, making sure he got touches, making sure he was the main cog that fed everything else.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
When you have a player of that caliber.
Right. We have Saquon and you put him to the wayside, man. We have A.J. Brown and we kind of put him to the wayside. It's just, and it's, you know what's like most maddening about this? I tell you this, right? Like I've said it before. I've seen the stretches where Kevin Betulo gets really creative with the offense and like nobody can stop us.
You're right.
I don't know like if it's the part of his brain where it's like things are going well and then he has to mess it up. Like I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but there's no creativity. Our run game is very predictable and the lanes are not opening up how they were for Saquon last year. And we're just not playing complimentary football in any aspect. We're not capable of doing it right now. And do I anticipate it getting better? You know, I heard watching Kevin Petullo's media availability today, you know, they asked him, they said, is it a matter of things looking different or you just like shifting or not even shifting? Like, is it a matter of things looking different for the offense moving forward? Or you just like getting into a groove with what you're already calling? And he literally said like, well, it's kind of both, right? Like,
yeah.
And to me, I'm like, brother, we're six games in. If you're telling me what you're saying and we need to stick to it, I got major concerns.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand. It's just completely.
I know you do. So, yeah, it is taking everything in me to not call it right now for the season. I'm not even going to lie to you. It's taking everything in me to not call it. And I will give credit to the New York Football Giants because it seems like they found their quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, been a couple games.
Yeah, it has. But I'm saying like Jackson Dart, I mean, he did that with fourth and fifth string wide receivers. Just wait till Malik Nabers comes back. They actually fill out that O-line and you get him an actual wide receiver too. I mean, I'm just saying, man, the Giants, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane may have saved their jobs yet. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. They may have saved their jobs yet. And Abdul Carter, I guess that pick is starting to, you know, round into form. I do wonder long-term what that's going to look like with Kayvon Thibodeau, because I feel like they're going to have to make a decision on one of those guys. Because Kayvon Thibodeau's contract is going to come up pretty soon, I think. His rookie deal is going to come up. So you got to make a decision there. Is you going to pay him or you going to trade him and you know, really fully invest in Abdul Carter opposite of Brian Burns? But, yeah, man, hats off to the New York Football Giants. They ran us out the building Thursday night. We deserved it. We played to lose. Like, we flat out, we played to lose. There was no effort on defense. Nobody came ready to play. Vic Fangio said it. You know, he's got to call a better game defensively, and he does. I believe defensively, if we get some new guys in there in terms of the back end, I think we can salvage that part of the team.
Yeah.
Offensively, man, it's hard for me to say I believe in Kevin Petullo moving forward,
because it's different with offense, because like, you know, the pieces are there.
Yes,
you know what they can be.
Yes,
you're just not doing it.
I don't know. So yeah, man, the Philadelphia Eagles were 4-2, and yes, we're still number one in the NFC East right now. I'm looking right into the camera when I say this. The Philadelphia Eagles suck right now. They are a mirage, and we have so much to fix. And I'm not confident that we will fix this before the season's over. I'm not. We're going into Minnesota, and I'm not worried Justin Jefferson won't go for 300 yards on us. I'm not even joking. Quinyon Mitchell does not play, Justin Jefferson is liable to go off. So we'll see, man. We'll see. I'm not happy with my squad right now. Eagles suck. Michigan, we suck. Man, it's tough right now. But what are you gonna do? It is what it is. Let's let's get to Rico, man. Rico Dowdle had his revenge game.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Michigan, because like,
what's up?
About like me that I feel like I kind of toned down with doing the show, just because it's the kind of not that type of energy, is just my hatred for the Eagles. Like, the same way you're a Michigan fan and you hate the Ohio State, because I feel like you don't feel that way about the Cowboys.
You know, I had this conversation like the other day. Somebody asked me, actually it was one of our coworkers at Waterloo, Gabrielle. She asked me and Nick, our other coworker, she was like, what NFL team do y'all hate the most?
Yeah.
And I was like, honest to God, I was like, you know, and Nick, he's a Cowboys fan, so he was like, Eagles immediately, right? And don't get me wrong. I laugh at y'all's downfall, right? Obviously, I don't want to see y'all doing well. You don't want to see us doing well. Fair. There is nothing And I mean, like, I don't hate anything or anybody more than I hate Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I was born in Michigan. I will never, and I mean ever, have any amount of respect for anybody that associates themselves with the Ohio State. Now, I will say, if the Eagles happen to draft somebody from Ohio State, if he goes off and ends up being a hell of a player for us, cool, by all means. But it's still F Ohio State. It is always F Ohio State.
And that's exactly how I am with the Eagles.
Right.
And like, to where, like...
like, you're loving this right now, right?
Well, see, it's to the point where, like, had we met before, like, and I know we're... We were friends and, like, knew each other before we really knew... before I knew you were an Eagles fan
right.
and stuff. So it's like, I don't need...
You don't think you could have done this?
I don't know. Like, I cannot... like you said, the exact, every feeling you have about Ohio State, that's how I feel about Philadelphia.
Yeah, like, I can't stand Dallas, but, like, I can, it's crazy. I mean, it may sound crazy to y'all, maybe not, but, like, I can respect Dallas, right? I can't respect Ohio State. I cannot.
And, well, it, for me, because, like, when it comes to the Eagles, it's like what people say about Cowboys fans. It's the Eagles fans that I end up getting into arguments with that make me not be able to. It's like I can't even. Anytime anything they do good, it's like there's blind. I can't.
Right. You can't even see it because it's. Yeah. No, I hear you.
And if they do bad, and so with y'all play the Giants, y'all lose, and. I'm living it up. I'm having the greatest time. And it ended with the Jalen Hurts interception. Like, I couldn't be more. You would have thought I was watching a Cowboys game.
Yeah.
At least for the New York Giants. Yes. And that's the only time I'll ever root for the New York Giants. I don't like the Commanders or the Giants, but they're pretty much, if there's tears, the only time I'll root for the Commanders
is when
they're playing the Eagles.
Right.
Only time I'll root for the Giants is if they're playing the Commanders or the Eagles.
Right.
And so, I'm literally like running around having a great time. And so and this is also the first time I went back and looked, the first time since we've been actually like recording video that the Eagles and the Cowboys have lost in the same week. It's only the second time since we've been doing the show in general.
Fun fact.
Yeah, but so I was just like, something in me, like, I was just doing so much talking, just so.
You felt like you brought that energy back?
No, I don't know if I brought the energy back, but I don't know when it came over me. Something was just like, man, imagine if I talked all this
and the Cowboys lose.
And the Cowboys, and then we lose to the Panthers. So then the game starts.
Yeah,
and we're watching, and I tweeted from the first drive. It was like a 7-yard RICO game, like a 12-yard RICO game. Now, y'all, this game's over. There's no way. And I'm at the point to where, because this isn't like this. It's happened. It just happened to this defense, but this is an ongoing problem that the Cowboys have had so many chances they've been in so many situations to get punked and have every opportunity to not get punked.
Yeah,
but they do. The amount of times I've sat there and in my head, I'm thinking, well, I'll give you the 49ers, for example.
Yeah,
the most recent playoff game. I'm thinking Thursday was not the most. It was the most recent, not the most recent regular season, because I think we played them like the regular season game. We lost to them like 42-10.
Yeah.
Before the game, I'm like, man, we've lost to this team twice in the playoffs.
Right.
This is our. It was 2023. It was Dak's MVP season. I think he deserved. So even at his worst, the second in MVP, he's MVP caliber season.
Yeah.
CD's playing amazing. Marcus, we're getting a lot of turnovers. I'm like, nah, man. No way. team loses again. They're gonna step up. They're gonna back. They're gonna just not go out. There's no way they go out like that.
Yeah.
And it's the most embarrassing loss of the three. Former Cowboy Rico Dowdle, journeyman. He's not. And I'll say this now. He's not that good. I don't care. It could be coach. It could be me. You can call me. Hey, he's not that good.
Not 239. 239 scrimmage. Yeah, yeah.
That's absurd. But credit to him, because like you said, he's told them straight up, they better buckle up.
They did not.
I mean, just run a buck on them. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
This is, we are literally trending to unforeseen territories.
Yeah.
This is, they are literally on pace to be like one of the worst defenses of all time. I've never seen anything like it. And to couple that with having arguably the best offense in the entire NFL, Dak Prescott playing, and I just also want to say to everyone acting like, because I want to give a lot of credit to people who aren't Cowboys fans, a lot of the media, a lot of people are recognizing that Dak is playing very well.
I mean, he's not top four MVP candidate right now.
He's not the reason for these losses, but a lot of people are acting like, we've never seen Dak play like this.
Yeah.
And that's just even more absurd to me than the defense being that bad, because to act like this is the first time he's had one of the number one on top offense. He's on pace for like 39 touchdowns. Done that before.
Right.
45, done that before.
Right.
Only like 9-10 of the intercept, done that before. This is the things he's done basically since he's gotten an elite receiver.
Yes.
He's played high level football. Some years have been better than others. That's the year before 2022 was a pretty good down season. But since he's had since the trade for Amari Cooper and him having an elite receiver from going from Amari Cooper to CeeDee Lamb, now George Pickens, even with CeeDee Lamb being out, he's played high level football.
Yes.
So we can give him his credit for playing well, but please stop acting like we've never seen this before. But just back to the defense, because they deserve all blame for this. And at this point, I'm not blaming the players. I'm completely 1,000. I'm putting so much blame on Matt Eberflus. I'm going back to our episode last season where just like this week, the Chicago Bears played the Washington Commanders, and Tyreek Stevenson is celebrating in the end.
Yes.
All right.
And I was giving Matt Eberflus.
You were like, no, Matt Eberflus gets in and you're fine. I was like, no. No, that was Matt Eberflus' fault. Yes,
bro. Come on.
This is crazy. And you want to know why I'm giving so much? Because he's weaponizing his stubbornness right now. It's insane. You want to know what happened?
What happened? Because I didn't get to watch the game like that.
So, before the New York Jets game, Trayvon Diggs went to the coaching staff, begged, plead, God,
to travel with Garrett Wilson.
No, not to travel, to play man as a team.
Yes.
To get out of this zone to where they're playing 90-something percent zone.
And did Trayvon come out and say this?
The
media came out and said it?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually remember how the official report, but it was confirmed by everyone. It was confirmed by
Trayvon wants to play man.
He wants to come to man. I think it was even Schottenheimer who said it. And then in the Jets game, now granted, I will say, because I even I watched the Jets and Broncos game, the Jets are not a good team.
Oh, man.
And
they
went 6.
That was so bad.
But before, I think this Broncos game was one of their worst games, just from an offensive perspective. I didn't like.
You got a chance to watch that game?
Yeah, I watched it completely. I was watching it while I was at work, so I was really listening and was able to watch it kind of like at the same time. But it was just, they were just terrified to throw it. And I understand Patrick Surtain is a really good quarterback.
Oh, and you got Pat Surtain, Jahdae Barron, and Riley Moss.
I actually have a take about that one, but I'll save it for when we play the Broncos.
Okay.
See, that's coming up in a couple weeks. I'm actually going to that game. I didn't tell you that.
He did not tell me this. Okay, we'll talk about that later.
So, I actually get to see this here in person. But what I saw from the Jets, it just seemed like they were terrified they had played. But their game before that, they weren't. And they were a lot closer games than that.
They played the Steelers tough.
They could have won a couple of those games.
Yes.
And so our defense, they played a lot more man, got a lot more pressure. They got 5 sacks, and they get doubled their sack total. They went from 5 sacks all season to 10 sacks, so they had 5 in that game. And what Trayvon Diggs said, because they basically, when they talked to Trayvon Diggs about it, he was like, yeah, man, we love when we are able to get that instant pressure. It allows us to be able to cover better. It's like, it's, you know, working together. We call it instant grits. No, he lived out. That was his point. We call it instant grits when we can get instant constant pressure on their quarterbacks and make them throw. So after the Jets game, the media asked Matt Eberflus, "Hey, so we heard Trayvon Diggs came and you asked to run more man, and we see it worked. Y'all got the instant grits he was talking about. Yeah. Do you think does that kind of validate some of his concerns about playing as much zone?"
Yes.
Basically asking him, "Were you wrong to have us running on this zone?"
Yes.
And that Eberflus's response was, "Well, we're going to keep doing what we think as a coaching staff is best."
Yes.
"This and that, this and that. And I don't like grits anyway."
Did he say that?
"But I don't like grits anyway," when the grits in question are constant pressure on the quarterback. What are we talking? Why would you say that? Why are you that stubborn to play your way in your offense that you are directly saying that you would prefer to do it that way than do it the way you were successful? That is where I have never been more out on a coach in my entire life. Not Mike McCarthy, not Jason Garrett, not Wade Phillips. Not, never. This is
he said, "I don't like Zimmer, grit anyway."
Not Dan Quinn. This is ridiculous. I've never seen anybody
like grits
be
anyway.
This stubborn to run a scheme that has been proven to not work. They are getting torched.
Yeah.
Every single game we've played.
Yeah.
Except the Jets, when they did what you didn't want to do.
Right.
Letting players have record-setting games week after week after. He played almost, 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Had one of his best games the game before he got. He went out like Kobe almost. 60 on it. He might not play another snap of NFL football.
It's funny because now I'm thinking about it because I did catch like the Bryce Young touchdown passes, and I remember two of them. Like, I think it was a running back. It might have been Rico out of the backfield. Like, he was stupid open. Like, he just ran right through each zone.
Wide open. Yeah. All the touchdowns we give up, it's crazy.
Yes, yes, and yes.
And it's because they are playing players out of the position. Donovan Wilson got an interception, a lucky interception off a drop pass.
Against Carolina?
Yeah, the same way I don't really give defenses – yeah, credit to catching the ball, but the offensive player should have caught it.
Yeah.
Dead in his hand.
Yeah.
And he got lucky on that, but then gave up two touchdowns. One of them.
Yeah, Tep was one. Yes.
Cooked him. Yes. Because he's sitting being covered. He's such a box safety, a strong safety.
Yes.
His immediate reaction is to crash down. So as soon as he sees him going, he crashes down, touches earth.
Yes.
Wide open touch there. And then the second one, I can't remember who it was too, but Sam Williams, a split second away from a sack, so I'll give him credit, but that's even further proves my point that pressures does nothing when he still throws a touchdown.
Right.
I can't remember, but again, Donovan Wilson, he was a little close, but still cooked off like a little double move. And I mean, he shouldn't be in coverage this much. Kyrie Elam.
Wanya Thomas, did he play?
Not as much as he should have. Neither did James Houston. Neither did Maris Leofau. And that's another problem.
James Houston, he's been y'all's like best.
He's
like your arguably right.
Our leading sack.
Why is he not? Right. Is he starting at this point?
He does not start. I don't know what it is. I don't know what.
Some guys are just better as like situational guys.
That was the thing. They were definitely saying it's better. He gets. He doesn't have the stamina. At this point, so that's big.
Yeah.
So I definitely remember seeing something about that. But I mean, and he definitely, in situations where we need him, he's at least got to put him on the field.
Yes.
And show you he's tired.
Yeah.
But right. I mean,
I don't like grits anyway. Oh my gosh.
We're playing guys that are like on their last drive.
I did see Kyrie Elam. What they call pass interference on the right.
Yeah. Pass interference, gave them a first down. And then the most egregious play of the night. It's 4th and 3. We're playing press coverage across the field, except for one guy. For some reason, on 4th and 3, Deron Bland is 7 yards off of Hunter Renfrow.
Yes, I did see that. Yes.
And Seth Hunt, I mean, it's clear as day where the ball's going. Yes. You dump off pass, chance to get off the field, chance to give your offense the ball back if you've been on the field since there were 6 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
And then that you allow that to happen. And apparently the play was for Derrick Johnson to jump over to, it was supposed to basically bait Bryce Young into making that throw, and he was supposed to jump the play, but he's not good enough for that. Like, y'all, that's just like your scheme. Yeah. You have to have your scheme built around the players you had.
Yeah. That's exactly.
That is the sign of a terrible coordinator.
I'm with you 1,000%. I got to deal with that in Michigan. Because Wink Martindale, when I tell you, I screamed because we played USC this past Saturday night. And I'm screaming at the television, like, why are y'all playing so off? Like, you are literally telling them pitch and catch down the field. Like, pitch and catch down the field. Just, yeah, go ahead, keep giving up 7-8 yard hitches all the way down the field. Like, you're daring the offense to do that. And then when they do it, you have no answer.
Yeah, and we do it more. It is not just on that 4th and 3. There, if it's third and like 6,
right,
we'll be 8-9 yards off. If it's 3rd and 15, we're 20 yards off. I like stand, put your heels at the 6. How are you not taught that? I've never played a defensive snap in my life. I only play offensive in my life.
Yeah.
And I know that you're supposed to put your feet at the sticks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Like, it's literally to the point, I say this all the time when I'm watching them. If I was playing the Cowboys defense, I'd go for it every time. I'd play 4-down football all the way down the field.
Yeah.
Because they've never shown any ability to get a stop anywhere. As long as the only stop they got, like I said, they got a lucky pick off a drop pass.
Yeah.
And then they forced one punt at the end. It was in the fourth quarter, but it was off of multiple self-inflicted wounds that the Panthers had with multiple penalties that put them at like 3rd and 18. And they still cut it to like 4th and 6.
Yeah.
I'm going for that.
Yeah.
I'm going for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I was like, I want 1,000% of the blame goes to Matt Eberflus in the defense. Cause like at the end of the
day, what did he say after the game?
I don't know if I even. I didn't look. I was so sick. Jerry didn't speak after the game.
Oh, he didn't? Jerry didn't speak?
No.
Wow.
He's spoken since, but it is directly after the game. No, he did not.
If Jerry Jones doesn't have anything to say immediately after the game, that's when you know.
Because we're literally, we just need, it's like 3 or 4 stops a game, and we most likely win a lot of these games.
Yeah.
2 stops. That's not enough throughout a football game to win the game.
Mm-mm.
And it's not like the Panthers, it'd be different if the Panthers defense giving up multiple touchdowns and stuff to our offense, not to brag, but we have one of the best offenses in the league.
Right.
It makes sense. And credit to them, they completely shut down our run game.
Did they?
Javonte Williams, going into the league, he's still a top 5 rusher in the league. He had like 30-something yards.
Yeah, David Brown and company.
Completely shut our run game off.
Okay.
And we were still able to put up points.
I saw Jaden Blue got some touches because Miles Sanders is out for the year.
Yeah. And, I don't know if this was just a bad game for the run game in general. Yeah. I'm not just going to say, you play terrible.
Yeah.
But, I was about to say like I said, that's when of the blame goes to the defense and Matt Eberflus. But a lot of people, the few Eagles fans and I guess just Cowboys in general that are trying to put the blame, any of the blame on Dak Prescott in the offense is because, like I said, they did force a punt in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened on that drive. We are
I didn't see it.
Cooking all game. George Pickens having a career game. Got a 6 touchdown, most in his career. He's now set his career high in touchdowns for a season. Right. 6 games into the year.
Right.
He has 168 yards.
Okay.
And
going off
for some reason on this drive,
didn't get in the ball.
We run a screen that loses 5 yards. So now it's 2nd and 15. And I don't know if the ghost of Mike McCarthy and Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan, the all-time worst play callers in Cowboys history, just gathered into one and just whispered into Shoddy's ear to force him to call 8-yard curls.
Yeah.
On 2nd and 15. On a guy that had a potentially game-winning drive.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know what got into him outplay. And so then Dak has to then check it out again because nobody's open.
Yes.
Now it's 3rd and 18. Obviously they're a smart defense at least.
Yes.
They're gonna have their heels at the sticks. Gotta throw it under the. And then at that point it's 4th and long.
Yes.
And then there's 6 minutes left, so you don't go for that. It's not a go for moment. You think you're gonna punt it back. You at least get a chance to get in a tie game.
Never.
Whether they score a touchdown or they kick a field goal, you at least get a chance to get the ball back.
Never got a chance.
No. And so if you want to blame Dak Prescott in the offense and even Brian Schottenheimer for calling that drive,
right?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because that's one drive out of the entire game. If they have to be perfect to win the game,
it's not going to happen.
That's ridiculous. That defense, it can't play like this if they want to win games.
Yeah. So with all that being said, who do y'all have coming up this weekend?
We have the Washington Commanders.
And they didn't look great last night. So, how are you feeling into that game?
Every game, we're at the point to where if it's a team as good as the Green Bay Packers,
yeah,
we can score. I think we can score on anybody. And we can get scored on by anybody.
Right,
right. I don't know how every game I feel like
unless it's a toss-up.
Unless our offense is just having an off day, if that's the case, it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
If they're on their P's and Q's like they have been all season, it'll be a shootout grudge match, and it'll probably come down to who gets the ball last.
Yeah, dang.
And it's at this point, I'm trending towards the way you're like, I'm this close to just calling it for the season because it's like, if we lose to the Commanders,
didn't look good last night.
They didn't, no, for sure. But
they did not look good last night.
Just for record purposes and just tight records and stuff, I think if we lose to the Commanders, the season will be over. But
yeah,
like I said, we have just as good a chance of winning the game.
No Terry McLaurin, no Noah Brown.
Right.
I mean,
and we're only half a game behind them. So if we beat them, we'll be second place.
Yeah.
And depending on how y'all's game go, we'll be right there to the division.
The division's up for grabs.
Right.
Hands down, the division's up for grabs.
That pretty much, transitions us into our next topic because the entire
it's wide open. The league is wide open right now. Very wide open.
Not a single team that just looked dominant. Like we just had the Bills just lost to the Falcons.
Yes, they did.
The Chiefs have had their struggles.
They just beat Detroit. So we'll see. But
the Buccaneers look pretty good. They lost to you guys. They're not undefeated.
They could have easily beat us, though.
There's not a single undefeated team in the NFL. Mm-hmm.
And there's no team that is just wide and above everybody else.
And then there are teams that are doing really well, but that you can just kind of, well, me personally, like looking at the Colts, they're doing really well, but do you really trust Daniel Jones to?
Dude.
The Daniel Jones and the Colts as a whole.
I mean, the man is balling on the Colts.
I mean, yeah, but like.
I'm trusting what my eyes are showing me right now. I can't deviate from what I'm seeing right now in terms of the Colts being a legitimate AFC title contender right now.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't. It's crazy to say because we thought Daniel Jones. I'm on record saying the Colts giving him a $14 million contract is insane.
Right.
But I guess we really had to say like if Anthony Richardson really got beat out by Daniel Jones, that said something. Yeah, said something.
Right.
And
he's showing us here.
Right. And you go back to his time with the Giants. Malik Nabers even said it. Like he was on record saying, like, it's not the quarterback. And when you're number one receiver saying that, man, when a top 15 receiver right now in the league is saying that, he's probably speaking some truth. Right. So
true.
I'm just kind of taking it one week at a time with the Colts and seeing where this roller coaster ends, man. Seeing where that wild ride ends. But It's just, it's very wide open throughout both conferences right now. And it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how it plays out down the stretch. You got the Rams. I mean, we beat them, but they're looking really, really good. They just beat up on Baltimore. Their season is, I mean, they're talking about Lamar might come back next week, but
I don't understand why they got Cooper Rush to be their backup. He doesn't fit the offense. You know, you shouldn't want to have a backup who you'd have to change your offense around.
Well, you know, Lamonte Jones, he kind of has a thing where he's like, if a team has a black quarterback, right, you don't get another black quarterback because then, like, if the first black quarterback sucks, you're going to be calling for the next one. And so, like, does that make sense? Like,
no, we mean.
Like, okay, Lamar, like, how do I break this down? Like, us, right, when we had Donovan McNabb, right, but then we signed Michael Vick. Donovan McNabb started playing bad. People were calling for Vick immediately, even though Donovan McNabb was, like, the established, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, just because, like, they call for the backup, like, immediately with the black quarterback.
Yes. And he has a running theory about that. Because Baltimore, they had a lot of black backups for him.
Tyler Huntley, right. It worked as much.
They signed Tyler Huntley back. I don't know.
Him and Cooper Rush actually played in the last game.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The reality situation is, and I mean, we've learned it on both sides, right? Like, you saw when y'all had Cooper Rush, he kind of held the ship steady for y'all for the most part. Not like by himself, but you know what I'm saying?
Here's my thing. That is the most overrated backup run in the history of the NFL. If the Baltimore Ravens saw that and thought, oh, well, maybe if Lamar goes down, he'd be able to do that for us.
Right.
Well, one of the only teams right now in the NFL who has a defense nearly as bad as us is the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
And if you think Cooper Rush is going to do that with that, you're sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
Because the reason Cooper Rush played that well, he played
better defense, right?
Played better in that stretch than they have in their entire career.
Right. No, and I know, and I mean, I was going to, you know, because I know you've said that many times before on the show, but I mean, as the backup quarterback for y'all, like, he did have a decent record as a starter. And, you know, obviously with us winning the Super Bowl back in 2018 with Nick Foles.
Yes.
Right. Going on that run. Like, I have learned and understood that.
The importance of
a backup quarterback. It is literally one of the most important positions in football. Like, it really is. I mean, the Ravens, they're learning it now. You got to find somebody that can not even be Lamar. Just, is he mobile and can he run the offense?
Right. Can he run? Yeah.
Can he run the offense and is he mobile? I'm not asking you to be Lamar Jackson because you can't be Lamar Jackson.
Exactly.
Right? Who else is having the Cardinals? They got Jacoby Brissett being Kyler Murray's backup. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? I don't know. So, but just in terms of, you know, the overall parity in the league right now, it's refreshing for me to see. I enjoy parity in the league. It's not refreshing to see my team suck, but.
Right. That's the most frustrating part about it.
It's
right there.
Yes.
We could have, because for us, we feel like, even if we, if we're the, because we're the 32nd ring defense, but we really should be like the 36th. I bet we could round up with a good group of backups.
Yeah,
that they could be playing a lot better than this right now.
Right.
I mean, if we were like even the 28th, the 25th defense, we'd be one of the top teams in the NFL right now.
Right.
And so for there to be that much parity and for that to be the case, it just makes it that much worse.
Right.
But like, you're right. I mean, it's both conferences are wide open.
Yep.
There are teams that are looking
really good teams in both conferences. It's just,
it's not, they aren't looking like they're unbeatable. They're not looking like they are far and ahead the best teams in the NFL.
We don't know. Don't know. But, you know, in terms of, you know, we're talking about parity in the league and everything. We're talking about the upper echelon of teams. I kind of want to talk about the lower echelon teams a little bit. I want to touch on the Tennessee Titans situation right now. They just fired Brian Callahan, second year head coach after 18 games. And my first thought immediately was, I'm not going to lie, man, I'm feeling for Cam Ward, just because the best thing in my mind, right, the best thing you can give a young quarterback is stability. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the Titans, ever since the A.J. Brown trade, they have been everything but stable.
Right.
They traded A.J. Brown. They fired John Robinson. Then they fired Mike Vrabel, let Derrick Henry walk. Then they hired another general manager, Rand Carthen, I believe his name is. Mm-hmm. And then they fired him, hired somebody else, hired Brian Callahan. right? Had the whole Malik Willis and Will Levis situation in the midst of all that, right? Who, to this day, I still believe they punted on the Malik Willis experiment too early. I really believe that. And for Will Levis, out of all the guys, for Will Levis, right?
Right.
You go through all that, and then you get to Cam Ward, and then you fire Brian Callahan six, seven games into the season. In his second season,
So you're not even giving him a chance.
You're not even giving him a chance. I mean, and he just got Cam Ward. Like, say, in the same instance is that, you know, franchises, and Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, he always says, like, franchises fail young quarterbacks. Franchises fail young head coaches too, man. If you don't give a guy an honest shot, that's what I was saying with the Giants. I think with Brian Daboll, like, I legit think the Giants were saying, like, all right, we understand that we gave you Daniel Jones, and for whatever reason, it didn't work out with him in New York, right? But we understand that was not your guy. We let you get your guy in Jackson Dart. I really think the Giants are going to say, all right, man, like, you got 2 years with Jackson Dart to show us that you can make something happen with him, right? Brian Callahan inherited Will Levis.
Right.
Like, and we saw that. That was, I mean.
There was a new Will Levis meme every weekend.
I mean, bro, like that,
something
I mean,
crazy.
I'm trying to think. I mean, the only guy that I could think of worst quarterback play was Nathan Peterman. You remember him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was bad. Y'all gave him that. For one season.
And then not even half
a season. Not even half a season with Cam Ward. Like, I feel sorry for Brian Callahan. And Titans fans, y'all are obviously more tapped in than us. So if y'all want to comment and let us know, like, maybe was Brian Callahan just not a good offensive mind? Like, y'all let us know. Because from the outside looking in, it just seems like Tennessee is just frantic and all over the place right now. And that is not good for a young quarterback. It's not good for any young player, but especially a young quarterback.
Right.
And so Cam Ward, man, I'm praying for you. Mike McCoy is the new interim head coach, former head coach of the Chargers. And what I did see, you know, what they were saying about that is, you know, Mike McCoy, when he was with the Chargers, he had Phillip Rivers slinging that thing. So I guess, if anything, they're hoping that this will open things up for Cam Ward.
I guess we'll see. I hope so.
Right. Because I believe in Cam Ward. I'm a huge fan of his. And I think he can help Tennessee get back to relevance. But, you know, the organization has to do right by him. First and foremost. So we'll see how that goes, man.
Definitely.
Switching gears here a little bit. NBA season, it's coming. Preseason basketball's here.
Yep.
It is coming. Let's get right into it, though. Los Angeles Lakers, star forward LeBron James. He already got hurt. What happened?
He has sciatica. I don't know. What? It's like a foot thing. It's like a old.
He's out for like 4 weeks, right?
It's like an old person.
Oh, okay. Well, LeBron is—he's what, 40 now?
Yeah. 41 in December. Like, so
he's out for being old,
pretty much. And I mean, I'm not too worried about it. Yeah. As long as he comes back healthy and starts the season off, I think the Lakers.
Is he set to start the season though?
No, not to start the beginning of the season. Like when he
retires
the season.
Yeah.
No, he's healthy. And I think the Lakers will have a decent season. I'm thinking probably like maybe third, fourth in the West.
Yeah.
Just depends on, really, I think DeAndre Ayton.
We
know what Luka, we know LeBron can do.
Have you watched any of the preseason, like them playing the preseason?
I have not.
Because I did see DeAndre Ayton did not look good in the preseason.
I don't really like him as a player, but... I mean,
you literally just need him to be a serviceable, like, if he puts up his career numbers with y'all, like his career averages, right, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
If he literally just does that, if you put up 16 and 12.
Like I said, when they made the trade, as long as he can rebound, be a lob threat,
right,
you know, make layups, protect the paint a little bit, like he'll be.
I mean, in an ideal world, he can show you like why he was worthy of the number one overall pick. And he could end up being Luka's running mate, you know, post LeBron.
You're right.
Ideally, but I mean, at the bare minimum, man, can you give us 14 and 11?
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. LeBron's out. Chicago. Y'all know where I'm at with that, man. Until we make moves one way or the other,
right?
I'm here. I'm just here as a Bulls fan, unwillingly participating. So, let me ask you this though, because I was watching a video earlier and I kind of just want to throw this out here now because we're on the topic of basketball. A YouTube channel I follow, Nonstop Sports. Shout out to Nonstop Sports, man. I love the content y'all put out. They put out a video of it was about Dwight Howard, basically like his whole career and everything that encompassed that. Do you think Dwight Howard is a Hall of Famer?
What?
No, seriously, because I do. I 1,000%
unanimously.
Yes. Okay. Because some people would say no.
That's, yeah, I think that's insane.
I think.
It's not even because it, well, one, just the criteria in general to make it to the basketball
game, it needs to be fixed. But
not even a, it shouldn't even be a question.
Yeah.
But even if it was like as prestigious as it, like to get in was like as selective as it should be.
Yes.
He should be a top 75 player.
Dwight Howard.
Damian Lillard is.
No, I, yeah.
He's a better player than Damian Lillard for a career.
Yeah, at his prime, you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I can't. It's hard to argue with the top 75. I 1,000% believe Dwight Howard's a Hall of Famer.
Until Nikola Jokic, he was the greatest center of, like, this generation.
Really? You think so?
Yes.
And it's let's think about this.
Nobody's even really close.
Let's think about this. Peak Dwight, what, like 08?
To 2012 right. or 2013.
Right.
Name another center. That's why I said Nikola Jokic that would lead the team to the finals.
No,
Joel Embiid could never.
No, I mean, there definitely was a point in time where Dwight Howard was the best big man in basketball. I'm not even arguing that. I'm just wondering.
Like, was it?
I mean, was defensively it the same?
I mean, three-time defensive player of the year, right?
Just back-to-back. As he was offensively.
Right.
And like other big men, you had some guys that were.
No, okay. You might be right. You might be right. I guess the question becomes then, like, do you think it was just in that four-year stretch where he was the best big man in basketball?
Well, I think that four-year stretch was when, because I think he lit, I think, like, a top 75, I think he has one of the cases to be, like, a top 10 center of all time. And yeah. I think of that four-year stretch, but even outside of that four-year stretch, he was still the best center in that current NBA.
Okay, so you're saying, So you're saying, like, before he reached, like, peak Dwight
from
like when he got drafted up until he left Orlando, how many years would you say he was the best center in the game, best big man in the game?
Let's see.
I definitely give it, 2008 to like 2012 for sure.
He got drafted in 2004, 2005.
Right.
I'd say from.
Because you got to remember, he was going up against Yao Ming and stuff at first, man.
I'd say from 06, 07, he started averaging 17 and 12. But then after that, it's 20. In 14, so from 07-08, for I think that's when it started, and then up until his first year in Houston, I think he was
really
the best center in the NBA.
With the Lakers,
I think that was just a bad season.
What year was he with the Lakers? 2013?
2012, 2013. He still averaged 17 and 12.
Can you look at like other big men who's in the league at that time? I'm trying to think, because who else?
I'm not counting Tim as a
who?
Center. Who? Somebody said, like, I was looking
at Tim Duncan?
No, like Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol is a center.
No, I'm saying
like
DeAndre Jordan, Joakim Noah, DeMarcus Cousins. He was a good center.
Yeah.
I think.
Marc Gasol, DeMarcus Cousins, Joakim Noah, Bulls fan here. Joakim Noah was never the best center in the game. He was definitely competition for Dwight in terms of, like, impact on the defensive side of the ball, though, for sure.
Yeah,
like Joakim Noah was insane.
That's why I think there were definitely other guys that were
DeMarcus Cousins,
even just as good defensively, like Ben
Marc Gasol. See, Marc Gasol is so underrated to me. Like prime Marc Gasol, so underrated to me.
Yeah, I could agree.
I don't think. I mean, Dwight
in LA though. I don't know if he was better than Marc Gasol in Memphis at that point.
Let's see what was Marc Gasol because that what year was that? Did I say?
What do you? I mean, well, hold on, wait. We're saying just center, right? Not big man, like best center in the league?
Yeah, center.
Because I was about to say like Tim Duncan. I'm like, no.
Tim Duncan for sure was better than him at
right, for every season. Yeah.
But his year with the Lakers was 2012-2013. Let's see.
I'm just trying to think who else was.
Andrew Bogut.
He led the league in rebounds when he was on the Lakers.
I'm trying to think. Andrew Bogut, Brooke Lopez. Who else were like mainstays at the center spot? It's so hard to think back to that time. It's crazy because like, we were growing up watching that.
Right.
Who else? I'm trying to think. I mean, DeAndre Jordan, I can't.
No, even on the Lakers, that year, Marc Gasol was in Memphis, he averaged 14 and 7.
Seven rebounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was never, like, a really good rebound. His career high is 9.
No, yeah.
Who else was in the league? Anthony Davis, was he in the league at that time?
He got drafted, I think, in 2010.
Yeah.
No, I think it was 2012.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. It was
definitely.
Oh, Rudy Gobert,
Oh, no, yeah. No, yeah, I guess DeMarcus Cousins, right?
Tyson Chandler, like we named them all.
No, you might be right. Dwight Howard may have been the best center in the game, even right there.
Like,
I don't think in Houston, though. He was definitely like one of the best centers still, but I don't think in Houston he was still the top center, though.
I think it was a smooth transition. Let's see. When did Shaq stop being the best center in the league?
Oh, I mean, me personally, definitely after Miami.
Yeah.
Like, by the time he got to Phoenix, it was done.
Because, yeah, even before he even left Miami, his first year.
His first because that was with the chip, right? His first year or second year?
His second year. His first year, he averaged 22-10. His second year, he averaged 20-9. Mm-hmm. Then after that, it was 17-7.
It just started. It started.
So, yeah, and that was 2006-07. So.
Yeah, and then once he got to Phoenix, it was a wrap.
So there was somebody in between Shaq and Dwight, or maybe that might have been like.
Whose name? Are you trying to figure out who it was?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Because I don't really think a guy who, because somebody like Ben Wallace, I don't think you can be the best center.
Wallace was definitely like, for a stretch, the best interior defender in the league.
For sure.
I mean, I'm almost thinking of Dirk, but Dirk, I mean.
He wasn't a center.
No, I know, but I'm just trying to think of big men back then. Who else? Was it really from Shaq to Dwight?
No, because like I said, it was Shaq's.
Wait. Where did Amari play with Phoenix? Amari was nice.
Yeah, but he was still, I feel like he was a power forward.
I do too.
Shaq stopped 05-06 basically when they won the championship.
Yes.
And Dwight got
drafted, 04, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't really take off until.
And then I'd say Dwight became the best around 07-08. So yeah, it was pretty much
maybe it was, but yeah, no, I mean, overall, me and you're on the same page. Dwight Howard's a Hall of Famer for sure for me. It's just, it's interesting to see people talk about him, because, and I mean, a lot of it self-inflicted, just a lot of his wounds, I guess, you know, in his career that he's, you know, taken over the years. But
he won the ring.
Yeah, no, he did. He did. I'm talking about like all the other stuff.
But he won a ring. He did. Defensive player of the year.
Three times in a row.
All stars, all NBAs, yes. All defensive team. Yes. Did it all.
I mean, he was all NBA player even with the Lakers.
Yeah. Everything but like an MVP.
Right.
Center, they would be insane. Centers are not going to really get that.
Those of you that don't know about Dwight Howard, man, go look at the tape. Go look at the tape. Because, yes, that man did not have a smooth post game. He could not move like Hakeem. Couldn't even move like Shaq like that. But that brother was getting up and over dudes on a routine basis.
The boy was so, his arms were just
and he was like, it was literally like, if you're trying to score on Dwight Howard, like prime Dwight Howard in the paint, it's almost as if like there's 10 arms out there, like just alone.
His arms were so long. He was so muscular. It was so crazy.
All over the place.
It was actually crazy how like skinny he was when he came into the league.
Dude, when he was he grew up playing point guard. Like
because I also have Anthony Davis.
Right.
Like
it's funny because Charles Barkley kind of woke Dwight Howard up. He met him in high school, and Charles Barkley told him, he was like, "You will not," because at that point he hit a growth spurt and he transitioned to center, but he was still super skinny. So Charles Barkley told him, he's like, "You got to bulk up. You won't survive in the NBA if you don't bulk up." And after literally the day after, Dwight Howard told his dad, like, take me to the gym, man. I got to figure this out.
But even by the time he was in the NBA, he still wasn't.
He was definitely on the smaller side. But, I mean, he was just.
From what he started to where his, like, arms got to, like, as his prime Superman status, ridiculous.
Right.
He won dunk contest.
Got to put in that work.
Did everything.
Giannis did the same thing. But
Giannis was also super
smart. Yeah, he put in that work. Got in the lab, man. But shout out to Dwight Howard. I just wanted to talk about him a little bit because I watched a video on him earlier. Yeah, Hall of Fame career to me for sure. Before we get on out of here, dang, man, we still got to come up with a name for this segment. But obviously, it's time for the non-sports talk of the night. And this week's topic is brought to you by, really, I mean, Lando kind of came in with this, but then I kind of thought about, I had seen a debate on Instagram recently. Now, I've never seen the show Invincible, but there is apparently a debate in terms of Omni-Man, and apparently he would wash Superman. And, well, I don't know that to be true because I've never watched the show Invincible. I don't know. But that kind of led to Lando wanted to, I guess, speak about which hero he can't stand. So.
Well, do you have one like you?
I gotta think about this. I'm going to let you go because I got to really think about this. So, Lando, which superhero can you not stand?
First, I think the whole Omni-Man, Superman thing. Omni-Man.
Because you watched Invincible.
I've watched the first season, and as far as I know, Omni-Man wasn't shown to have, like, any weakness. And
not he was one, like, not at all. None at
and,
all.
And he was just, like, super strong. And he's a lot more ruthless and lethal than Superman is. So he'd be a lot more willing. He wouldn't care about hurting him or
yeah,
his intentions.
Basically, he'll kill Superman.
He'd have, he'd have a lot more nefarious intentions than Superman would in the fight. But
I need to watch that show.
Superhero that I think is by far the worst superhero. I think he's overrated.
Who is this man? I feel like you're going to come from one of my guys.
Gets insanely too much credit, and his biggest, the biggest, like,
draw?
No, accolade. Claim of, like, support for him is basically plot armor. And
who you about to say?
Batman.
Okay.
Ridiculous. There's no way he's beating anybody, let alone in the Justice League, let alone anybody that's, like, super powered.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, there's no.
Well, you've seen Batman, Superman, right?
He has, yeah. I guess he keeps just kryptonite on him, that's him.
Yeah.
But the Flash. There's nothing he can do to stop the Flash. Oh. The Flash wanted to kill him.
Okay, I feel like we should preface this by saying, because the Flash is your favorite superhero, right? I mean...
He's my favorite, like, DC superhero.
Okay, yeah.
But, I mean, what can he do to stop the Flash? Because that's the thing.
Without using technology?
No, even with using his technology, there's nothing he can... He would only beat the Flash because the Flash wouldn't be willing to, like... What the Flash is capable of...
Mm-hmm.
Is so much more. There's nothing. He can literally time travel. He can stop time. There's nothing Batman can. He doesn't have any gadgets that stop time. There's nothing he can do. No time in the world where one guy can completely stop time and go back to where before, like, literally, like, to look at it logically, he can literally go back in time to where Martha and Thomas.
Yes.
Before they were born.
Yes.
He can kill the first Wayne in existence.
Okay.
And it's like, if you think about it like that, then, if you say Batman, if the Flash isn't going to use the necessary means to get the job done.
Yes.
Then, yeah, I guess Batman can do it.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. You're probably not wrong. I'm sure there's some contraption out there that Albert and Bruce can come up with that would slow down the Flash. I'm not saying beat him, but slow him down or something, or maybe trap him in a vortex or something. I don't know. I don't even disagree with you. I'm sure the Flash, like you said, if the Flash really wanted to, he could just go back in time and make
even Wonder Woman here. What's Wonder Woman's weakness?
No, I'm with you.
I don't know how this whole prep.
What are you? So what are you like? Are you mad about, like, how much fanfare Batman has, or
that? I just think he's,
because I do like Batman. Like,
even if you compare him to his Marvel counterpart Iron Man,
yes,
Iron Man is a better suit. Batman does nothing super. He can
fight. He doesn't have a power.
He can fight for sure. I'll give you that. Yes, but like somebody who can fight, like Captain America, who he has super strength and can fight.
Yes, I mean, super strength, super speed.
Yeah, the Black Panther has super strength and can fight. Wonder Woman, like, these are super powered people that he's just a rich guy.
Regular guy, yes.
Learned kung fu.
So is that, okay, so is that the brunt of it all for you? Is that Bruce Wayne is a rich kid?
Like I said, even Iron Man, he uses his rich money and stuff to where he can fly. He can shoot like.
And Iron Man, it's kind of a different thing, right? Because like, yeah, Tony Stark has money, but I mean, he got kidnapped and got the thing strapped to his chest. You know what I'm saying? Like at that point, he had no choice but to figure something out.
Well, I mean, the standalone part, I think, is still separate from like his, like. It'd be like he could create a Batman type suit to where it's just keeping him alive.
Yeah.
But he's not flying and shooting laser beams and missiles and nanotech. Yes. And like,
that's Tony Stark's brain.
It's ridiculous.
So I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I don't even disagree with you in terms of like, yeah, Batman is the most human, you know, of heroes.
And I hate his no kill policy. That's so dumb. The Joker would be an afterthought.
Yeah.
If I was Batman, I would have took care of that a long time ago.
Fair.
Like, what is the point of just locking people up in Arkham Asylum? They're just going to break out.
Superman doesn't kill people.
But they did a good job of his villains not being just like regular guys. Like, they're brainy.
I mean, Luther was a regular guy. He just has money.
That's true. I mean, yeah, he should have
Zod. Zod is Superman's like uncle.
He definitely should have killed Lex Luthor.
Okay. So Lando can't stand Batman. I mean, I'm with you just in terms of he is definitely the most human hero. I mean, in the movie Batman versus Superman, I mean,
even that he was getting his butt whooped.
If Superman really wanted
Martha.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
What the heck?
If Superman really wanted to, no question about it, that movie wouldn't have even happened because Batman would have been dead in the first 3 minutes. Right? I mean, So I hear you. I'm trying to think, is there any hero like I can't stand? I don't think there's any hero I can't stand. There are heroes that I question, like, I mean, and I haven't even seen the movies or any of the comics about this guy, like Shazam. I don't know what that's about. Are you aware of Shazam?
No, I saw some of them, the movie. It's like an ancient god. I mean, and so, because I saw the beginning, I remember it was like an ancient god who held the power of Shazam, and he was like a protector and a guy. And he was trying to find, he was aging, he was trying to find a successor to like wield the mantle of Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kept testing people. He would bring them to like the planet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he would basically be like, oh, I give you the power of Shazam. But then he'd have the bad guys or wherever, they would be there basically to tempt the person. It was like a test.
Yeah.
Either you like reject the bad people, or if you would go with them, he'd just send you back.
I think I'm Shazam. Is that the one with The Rock?
That's Black Lightning. He ends up following.
Right. Okay. So Shazam is the guy with the lightning bolt in his chest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one with the golden red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. So I'm thinking of this. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was just making sure because.
Yeah, he brings one guy in. He sees the power, and then he like never forgets it.
Yeah.
He remembers it for the rest of his life, and like his whole mission is to get back there. Then the Billy Batson, the kid, he's finally the first one to pass the test, so he becomes and that's the whole thing. But
okay.
It's a regular little sort of that. Yeah, the movie could have been done better. The movie. I don't think it.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
And I know it gets a lot of like kind of bad reviews, but I feel like based off.
Most DC movies do nowadays. But
right.
Yeah. What else? Who was? Oh, you know what? I ain't gonna lie. I thought the first movie was pretty good, but the second one, I think the third one too. Ant-Man.
Oh my God, that is crazy. Those are my favorite standalone Marvel movies by far.
Really?
Those are the best ones. Especially the first one.
No, the first one was good.
Two was great.
Do you like the movie or like more than you like the superhero himself? Or like, is it both for you?
The movies is what made me like the character than the superhero. Okay. I didn't even really know much about Ant-Man.
I didn't either.
And I love those movies. I think one of the most underrated like characters in the entire MCU that
just Scott Lang. Been,
no, Miguel and T.I. T.I. being in the MCU is so funny to me.
I'm sitting here thinking he's about to tell me why Ant Man's underrated.
Thanos could have had an interaction with T.I.
Okay.
But that's besides the point. The movies themselves are great.
I've watched them all.
I love those movies.
I may need to rewatch them.
Ant-Man, and then the Captain Americas, and then Iron Man's are like.
If you had to throw away any like Marvel standalone movies, this is an easy one for you.
Easy peasy lemon squeeze.
Who we got? Who's getting
the Thor? Ring it actually. It's a tie between Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I was about to say Guardians of the Galaxy. Like really, yeah. Thor?
Yeah, I
like Thor.
I've never really liked Thor that much.
That's funny.
Do you have a favorite superhero?
That is the question, isn't it? I find myself defending Spider-Man a lot. Really not even defending Spider-Man, but more so just, well, I don't know. I have a lot of passionate discussions about, you know, movie actor rankings for Spider-Man.
Toby.
It's hands down, Toby's the best one by far. And that's not even a knock to Tom Holland and Andrew Garfield.
Right.
Tom Holland.
They did great.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't like the Andrew Garfield. I like them all. I haven't seen a single bad Spider-Man movie.
Andrew Garfield's movies were bad. He did great. But the movies were bad. I'm a down that hill. But do I have a favorite, man? It might be Spider-Man. I guess I'll be that guy. I'll play the black card. I do love Black Panther. I'm sad that Chadwick died so young into that role because I wanted to see that grow.
In fact.
I mean, shoot, hopefully we can get a Black Spider-Man with Miles Morales. They're talking about the live action one, right? So, yeah, man, I think it's going to be Spider-Man for me. Who's yours?
For me, it's definitely
not The Flash?
No, he's on my favorite DC character, but my favorite, just overall superhero is a very, limited, screen time, never been in a movie, but Static Shock. Is by far.
Oh man, yeah. That's a great one.
Now
there's been some talk of them making it into a movie.
They've been talking about it for years.
I know. That was a great show. Such a great show. My kids will grow up watching Static Shock.
Definitely.
Oh my gosh. Wait. So it's because he's not. Is he in? We're just talking about heroes in general, right? Because he's not in Marvel or DC.
He's not. He is kind of technically in DC. But the whole rights thing, he is kind of like a standalone character. Because even in the show, the Justice League showed up and stuff and kind of interacted. But it's a whole rights and naming thing. But he's technically kind of like a standalone right now.
Right. Well, shout out to Static Shock, man. I grew up on that. Atlanta grew up on that. I'd love to see it turn into a live action movie one day as long as it's done right.
Facts.
As long as it's done right. But hey, that's a wrap on this week's episode. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Alice Cowboys fan, because we don't have any D.
Oh my God, this guy! He's a fan of the Aints, like the Saints.
Yeah. Take the D off and add an S, and that's how our defense is playing.
That's funny, but yeah. Thank y'all for tuning in. Like, comment, subscribe. We're getting back to regularly scheduled programming this week, so you will get audio, video soon. The Eagles fans, y'all let me know if I'm crazy. Do we still have hope in Philly this season? I don't know. Y'all let me know if I'm crazy, if I'm overreacting. Cowboys fans, do y'all think Lando's wrong for defending Dak vehemently? Do y'all think your defense isn't to blame? If you do, I'm pretty sure me and him will look at you like you're crazy.
But there's nobody that should be talking crazy about Dak Prescott right now. You got to see me.
You got to see him, man. You got to see him. But keep liking, commenting, subscribing. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. And until next time, peace.
Later.